How stupid is this?
Very.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 5, Episode 23, Swan Song. And now, here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello.
Hello.
It's the finale, but before we get to it, we want to tell you what's happening in the Again With This Club this Friday, May 22nd. It's going to be Again With This 289. Let's watch Brenda Strong in her Seinfeld debut. This is season 7, episode 12, The Caddy. It is on Netflix. This is the one where she makes her debut as Sue Ellen Mischke, the heir to the O. Henry candy fortune. Loves to just bop around New York brawlessly, and that is an issue for her old frenemy, Elaine. I think we all remember where we were when we saw this. If not, I don't know, ask your parents, I guess, but it's a fun one. So again, with this podcast.com/club to get that and so much more.
Yeah, and you know what the end of a season means, the season finale means that we are heading into a final season. But first, we're doing a call-in show, and this is your last chance to get those calls and voice memos in to our show. If you want to talk about any show that we've covered, Bev Niner, Melrose, Dawson's, and if you want to cast your vote for what we cover next, we definitely want to hear from you on that. That's 210-767-2237. You can also send us a voice memo via email. More information at the end of the show. But again, this is your last chance. We're taping May 20th, 210-767-2237.
Or hello at againwiththispodcast.com. That is the email for any voice memos if you are not in a place where it's convenient to phone. All right, let's get into it. Just really the one plot, all the drama goes down at the airport. The airport of improbable coincidences.
Yes, and it's a mega day in there. I don't know what's happening outside in Cape Side or Boston or Provincetown Airport, but it's a mega day in there, I'll tell you.
Flights are getting delayed by hours and hours and hours, or some people just like to get there real early, and I, you know, understand. So Dawson is riding up an escalator with a huge hot air balloon decoration behind him, which you can see in the visual aids, when he gets a cell phone call from Oliver, who is already writing a script, even though, as Dawson reminds him, their deal isn't closed yet, and Andrew hasn't confirmed that Dawson will be directing, but they're both excited. Dawson looks across the concourse and hangs up when he spots Joey. How? Well, because it's a flash forward. As they sit together at a bar in the terminal, Dawson exposits that they haven't seen each other since Dawson went to Los Angeles 5 years earlier. The last time he tried to call Joey, a guy answered, and then Dawson got busy with the movie and forgot until a year had passed. He thought he would see Joey at the premiere, but she was working on her thesis. She saw the movie twice, though, and it was good. Dawson's back in Boston for Gail's remarriage, which Joey hasn't heard about, which is probably the first clue that something is off with what we're watching. Their families presumably still live in Cape Side. Bessie would have told Joey about something as big as a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently every version of Dawson is ready to make shit weird at a moment's notice. Clip 2.
Joey, can I tell you something?
Sure.
I think about you a lot, which is weird because we don't talk ever. But I'm wondering if running into you is some kind of sign. I have to go back to L.A., but I might be able to reschedule a couple of things and maybe stay here a few more days.
Oh. Hello? Hey, how was your flight? Well, I'm having a drink with an old friend. Give me 5 minutes.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, wow. You're just going to leave that full cocktail on the table then? Or shoot it? Which, all right, I approve.
Mm-hmm. This is also when her phone rings. Her left hand has been under the table, but then when she gets her phone out, we see she's got an engagement ring on the usual finger. We notice that Dawson doesn't, because when she is hung up,
Dawson.
He asks who it was. It was her fiancé, an environmental rights lawyer just back from New York. And again, Gail would have told Dawson that Joey was engaged. Like, there's no reason to think Gail and Bessie wouldn't still be running into each other in town 5 years later.
Yeah.
Dawson pretends to be happy for Joey, who asks about his love life, but his relationship with an actress didn't work out. Joey makes a pretty funny tough luck face that you can see in the visual aids. And when Dawson just sits there looking bereft, Joey says she should go, hugging Dawson and telling him to call the next time he's in town. But when she gets a few feet away, clip three.
I'm going to say something. You and me, we had our shot. And you blew it. So I moved on. And you might want to get on with your life too, because, I mean, this is getting sad and ridiculous. I just thought that you should know that. Take care.
Yep. That echo takes us into Dawson in bed, waking up in terror, because it wasn't a flash forward. It was a nightmare. Credits. And then we're in Cape Side with a lot of exposition. Joey is back waitressing at the yacht club, this time at least during the tourist season and not the school year when no one's there.
Mm-hmm.
Which means she's not available to come back to L.A. with Audrey. And what would she even do there? Clip four.
Well, there's always Fred Siegel.
I just felt that Tara had been seen with that.
It's true. Yeah, Joey thinks that's a who and not a what. So I guess she never watched 90210, where it figured prominently, as I recall, at least in B-roll.
Yes, it did.
Audrey makes sure Joey doesn't intend to come back to Worthington as the prudish bookworm Audrey first met, because she doesn't have the energy to pull Joey out of her shell again. Then they're joined by Pacey in uniform. He is the yacht club's newest security guard. After Audrey has addressed him as dickhead and trudged off, Joey tells him to go after Audrey. She's leaving tomorrow. Pacey's already tried to make up with her so much he might be breaking anti-stalking laws. Not a cool thing to joke about, in my opinion.
No.
Also, doesn't think he has the capacity to make one of his classic romantic gestures after all of his recent setbacks. Over to the Leary house, Gail walks in on Dawson trying to get Lily to say his name. Suggesting Lily might just not have anything to say, Dawson's like, "A Leary with nothing to say? I don't believe it for a second." He feels guilty about possibly missing Lily's first word, but Gail says he can't be around for everything and he must not feel guilty about having been Gail's miracle this year. She asks if he's said goodbye to Joey yet. No, he's having dinner with her, and no, it's not a date. Audrey's coming too, but there's nothing left to say. Cueing Gail to repeat his line about a Leary with nothing to say, har har. Over to the radio station, where Jack bursts in on Jen playing a Bare Naked Ladies track, clip five.
What is up, slut?
Not much, big homo.
All right.
Okay.
Don't mind it, I guess. He is there to tell her he got 4 C's and a D and is thrilled to be thoroughly mediocre. I guess that's good enough to be off academic probation. Boston Bay College, standards real low, we are learning.
Mm-hmm.
They reset their Costa Rica adventure storyline for new viewers, each making sure the other still wants to go. No, Jack doesn't have anything keeping him in Boston. And no, Jen definitely doesn't want to spend the summer with her chilly wasp parents. In which case, Jack got Jen a book, Moby Dick, to read on the plane. But Jen likes to chat, she says. And Jack likes to sleep, hence the engrossing book. And when he is taken off again, Jen signs off, thanking her listeners for letting her share music she likes and vent, and looks around in a very valedictory way. It's cuter when she does it than when Joey did it in her dorm room last week.
Yeah, rather. Like your freshman. Mm-hmm. Settle down.
Over to Leary's fresh fish post-dinner, clip six.
That was not half bad, Dawson. I was expecting a way more disgusting culinary experience.
Jesus!
Wow. Like, it's a seafood restaurant on LOL, but right. Cape Cod.
Yes.
Like, it's not that none of them can fuck it up, because I could tell you they can, but sure. Like, why? I don't know.
I don't know.
Don't be fucking city trash like that. That's weird.
And don't say that about what was presumably a free meal.
Yeah,
also.
Seriously. Did you get comped? Then shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Audrey then says she's going to go to the record store to stock up on CDs for the flight. Remember when you used to have to bring CDs on a flight? And one of those
Disc fan.
For your worst.
Worst.
She says if those fail to take her mind off the flying, Dawson might have to punch her in the face. And after the crack about the restaurant, he's probably more prepared than ever. But Audrey also assumes Joey and Dawson have some kind of bittersweet farewell to get through. And unfortunately, she's right. Strolling on the boardwalk, Dawson asks Joey to promise she'll never marry a lawyer. She suggests this hypothetical lawyer might use his powers for good, like on behalf of children or the environment. Dawson just asks to change the subject, and Joey remembers their goodbye last summer. Felt like they would never see each other again. Little did she know Dawson would show up at her door 3 months later, he says. She asks if he ever regrets it, which, of course, he doesn't. And then he asks if she regrets him doing that, but she'll never forget opening her door and seeing him there. And then she has to ask why he went to Florida. Clip 7.
I don't think you want to hear it, Joe.
Dawson, for as long as I live, I'll never not want to hear something you want to say.
I went down to Florida to tell you that I love you. See, it's not what you wanted to hear, is it?
Why didn't you say something?
By the time I got down there, it was pretty obvious that you'd moved on. And I wasn't about to ask you to drop everything just because I'd finally seen the light. I mean, that wouldn't have been fair.
Well, when did things... when did they change for you?
There was a moment. It's Lily's birthday party. I opened your gift. It was a book of sketches. And I just sat there looking at this incredible reflection of who you are. And I just realized I hate it when you're not around.
Dawson, how do you know that I'm not just this security blanket for you? You know, something that you'll keep coming back to whenever the world gets scary?
It's not the world I'm scared of, Joe.
Ugh.
I just still don't understand what the show thinks it's doing.
No.
I don't understand how the actors are being directed.
No.
Like, he was apparently in her dorm room all weekend earlier in the season, but I think their lips didn't even touch. They have no chemistry. I do not get it.
No.
This has got to stop.
Yeah, it does. But it's not stopping yet. He puts a hand on her cheek and leans in, but the second before he's about to kiss her, clip 8.
I'm sorry, Dawson. I can't do this.
I don't think she intended this, but that it really sounds like she's about to puke. It's rough.
Yeah. I can't imagine that they intend this for the now center of the show, basically Joey, which like much like St. Kelly, no one asked for this, but here we all are.
Yep.
But like, why push him to say in so many words why he drove all the way to Florida for your bony ass, left without saying anything? Like, you know, you're not little Joey Potter anymore. If you're such an amazing voice of a generation sensitive writer, presumably you can extrapolate that he drove all the way down there to confess his feelings and hopefully get it wet. And when you were in a tent with whatever, dandelion head,
Charlie,
he left because he didn't want to be humiliated and hurt any further.
Yes.
If you're going to make him say all that shit and then be like,
psych,
sound of gorge rising, yeah. I can't do this.
Yeah.
What a bitch.
Yeah, that's really mean.
But the show doesn't think it's mean. They just think she's conflicted, like, about what? Either hop on each other or don't.
Right. Don't. Yes, he's not even a virgin anymore. Like, it's fine.
Yeah. Everyone completely forgot about, I guess, all of season 4 already? So,
yes.
Or season 3, I mean. So, like, you know, go with God.
Yes. All of you are so cool with each other that later on, Pacey's going to be like, you need to talk to Dawson. Whatever. I want to believe she means it when she says she can't do this, but they did the same fucking thing in the season four finale with like almost getting there and then they didn't and then they did. Spoiler, we're about to see it again.
Yeah.
Ugh. The next day, Dawson gets out of a cab outside the B&B as that "Tell Her That You Love Her" song is playing.
No.
Inside, Joey's helping Audrey wrestle all her luggage toward the front door. Joey's saying, apparently not for the first time, that there's nothing to tell Audrey about the night before. Outside, Dawson takes an envelope out of his pocket with Joey written on it, faintly smiles at it, and drops it in Joey's mailbox, which is illegal. I learned that from canvassing. That's why you get door hangers for political candidates, because if you didn't mail something, okay, you can't put it in a mailbox. Struggling out the side of the house, Audrey keeps insisting that Joey not keep secrets. It's bad for her complexion and soul. Joey tells Audrey with all the love in her heart she doesn't want to talk about it, and Audrey huffs that Joey is so Cher and moonstruck right now. Dawson offers to help Joey with one of her bags, but she curtly tells him to get Audrey's. And Audrey asks if Dawson wants her to leave him and Joey alone again, and he says it won't be necessary, and Audrey looks alarmed but doesn't push him. And then it's time for goodbyes for real. Sort of. Clip 9.
Hug me, quick. Tell your sister I said thank you.
I will.
Okay, don't say anything in this moment.
Who's talking?
Because anything that you say, you'll just ruin it.
Ruin what?
Best year of my life.
Oh.
No.
I'm going to miss this Audrey, apparently. Based yeah. on what everyone's telling us.
I mean, I don't know. She was annoying at the end with Pacey, but that's not her fault. And no. She does still save a lot of scenes.
She does. Mm-hmm. As Joey gets in the cab, Dawson and Joey exchange soft-eyed smiles, and then clip 10.
Have a great summer.
You too.
Please have them separately. I'm begging you. Let it happen.
Oh, God.
Over to the marina. A patrolling Pacey has to tell a couple on the deck of their sailboat to turn down their stereo. The guy turns around and it's Danny canoodling with a lady that he introduces as Lori, but who smacks him and says her name is Glory. By the way, IMDb says she's played by Ashley Williams, Kimberly Williams Paisley's sister from How I Met Your Mother season 1 and a bunch of Hallmark movies. This lady is named Ashley Williams according to the credits, but she is not that one. Just FYI.
Mm. Okay.
So when she takes off to shower something, Pacey notes that she does not look like Danny's wife, which is when I remember we were told Danny was originally in Capeside. This is how he met Doug, because Emily's family had a summer place there. So I don't know why Danny would come back there on his boat after he broke up with her, which indeed she did, which he tells Pacey. He then asks about Pacey's uniform. Clip 11.
This is my summer job, Danny. Because once you bailed on civilization, it kind of folded, so I had to quit.
Oh, I'm sensing a little resentment. Sorry, kid, but I never promised you a rose garden. Hey, look, is there something you want to say to me? You're giving me that disillusioned protege look. I hate it.
Hey, if the shoe fits, right?
Pacey, hey. You and me, we are cut from the same cloth. We're both these chronic screw-ups, so that's why the restaurant world works for us. You never have to grow up. You never have to conform. How cool is that? See, I look at you, and I see myself 15 years ago. You got a great future ahead of you, kid.
So you tell me I play my cards right, I get to end up just like you, huh?
Danny!
Duty calls, but looks like I'll be seeing you around.
Well, Danny might be seeing Pacey, but we won't be seeing Danny, because that's a series wrap on Ian Conn.
Good.
Well, I didn't love the character, but he is hot.
He is, but the character managed to tamp down those pants feelings, at least for me. This episode is really like a lot of things that are happening that don't need to. Like, here's a button. Like, we, you know, it was already zipped up, but it thanks.
And some pulse pounding music takes us to the airport in Boston, where Jack and Jen are racing through the concourse to catch their flight. But when they get to their gate, they see that flight is delayed, which is when Jack notices Audrey and Dawson at the copyright compliant version of Hudson News, which is, we find out later, Beacon News.
Perfect.
Perfect. Smash cut to all four of them bored. Audrey picks her toes as Jen, whose bookmark is so far into Moby Dick, wonders if they've all just run out of things to say to each other. That's when Jack looks up and sees Eric coming out of a gate. Jen hustles everybody away, permitting Jack to have a very awkward catch up. Eric shows off his big brain, guessing Jack's at the airport because he's going somewhere. Jack tells him his plans with Jen. Eric himself went home for the summer to see his parents and then came right back to Boston. Clip 12.
Had all these grand plans, you know, I was actually going to, you know, tell him, and just, you know, it just never really felt like the right time, you know. It
never is.
So, I'm actually going to hang out here for the summer. I'm going to get a job, take some classes. What about you?
Costa Rica with Jen.
Oh.
That is if our flight doesn't get canceled.
Oh, it's delayed, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could be here for a while.
Well, you know what? I don't have to be anywhere. If you want, no, I can wait with you. If you want.
No, it's all right. It's okay. My friends, they're just back there getting something to drink.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Cold. That was an overture, yeah. Jack. This is why you're single.
Yeah. There's so many bathrooms in an airport. Get a grip.
Mm-hmm.
This very nice 34-year-old man wants to make out with you.
A very nice, probably 27-year-old man. So it's fine.
Yes. Yes.
Eric wishes Jack a good trip and makes an exit hasty enough to befit that very chilly blow off. Back at the B&B, Bessie returns with groceries. Joey runs out and asks to take the truck so she can go start at the yacht club a week before she was supposed to. She figures, why delay the inevitable, and then complains it's almost Memorial Day and she's going to be seeing tourists at work and at home. That's the idea. They're there to tip you. Quit bitching about it. This is how you make money. Durr.
Yeah, duh.
Bessie says Joey doesn't have to work at the yacht club, but Joey says this makes it official. Joey Potter is back where she started, and yes, she refers to herself in the third person. Bessie comments on college not having altered Joey's inner drama queen and then asks if she brought in the mail. Joey didn't and can't. She's already late. And as she drives off, the camera slides over to the mailbox, steaming with Dawson's letter. Back at the airport, Dawson bumps into a woman trying on sunglasses at Beacon News and is shocked to see it's Graham's improbable coincidence number one. Oh, wait, number two. Eric was number one. She motions to Mr. Smalls at the back of the store and murmurs to Dawson that, oh, wait, both of them seeing Autry and Dawson was number one. This is number three. Graham's motions to Mr. Smalls at the back of the store and murmurs to Dawson that they're taking the 6:45 to Las Vegas, but he can't tell Jen these little getaways are more fun on the sly. Dawson promises her secret is safe. And after Grams gives him a hug and wishes him a good summer, he sincerely thanks her for everything she did for him this year. And she thanks him back for making Jen happy for a while. She doesn't say that. That's me.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson adds that Jack and Jen are still around if she wants to say hi. But Grams doesn't want Jen to think she's doing the Grams thing of trying to change her mind, which I don't know why Jen would think that, since when we saw Grams in the last episode, she was backing up Jen's decision not to go to the Hamptons.
Yeah, what she's going to think is that you're going to Vegas to get married to Mr. Smalls, who everybody just met like 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh. But
nobody gives voice to this thought, so no. I guess that's not what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why else these two churchgoers are going to Vegas. Like, who is in residence in 2002 that they would be there to see? I don't even know, but whatever. Dawson doesn't know about any of this. Graham saying it's about Jen's parents doesn't clarify anything. Back to the yacht club. Joey's still in uniform as she sits at the bar doing paperwork when a smug-looking Bessie shows up. Joey immediately assumes something's wrong, and when she finds out everything's fine, she apologizes for being short with Bessie earlier. She's just bummed to be back working at the yacht club. It's none of Bessie's business. She knows Joey is a grown woman now, although it's not the same in town without Joey. Bessie adds that Joey's not the same either. She even looks different, and as proof, she pulls out Joey's passport from when Joey was going to France in season two, reminding her how she fought Bessie about going to see their dad while she was trying to decide whether to go. Joey stupidly says she never sent in her passport application, but Bessie did, obviously, since the passport exists. And when we see it, the photo meets none of the guidelines of a passport photo. It's like clearly a shot of Katie Holmes at some event, like, you know, mm-hmm. one quarter profile, not how you're supposed to take them at all. And trust me, I just had to renew my Canadian passport, so I know what I am talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Bessie adds that if Joey's thinking they need her there this summer, they don't. Joey asks if Bessie has any more magic tricks in her bag, and Bessie says she might, pulling out Dawson's letter. Joey even more stupidly asks what it is, and Bessie tells her she'll have to open it. Back at the airport, Dawson is making Jen's family crisis about himself. Clip 13.
So basically what you're saying is that after everything that's happened, we're not still friends.
Yeah, we're friends. Of course we're friends. We're always going to be friends. But right now, it feels like that's part of the problem.
Me being honest with you is a problem.
Yeah, what? You know what? If it involves me having to go see my parents, yes, it is.
I'm sorry, Jen. I don't accept that.
Can you please let this slide?
I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't, Jen, because I love you and I care about you. And I know that deep down you really want to work things out with your parents. I know this because you told me.
Great. So now the things that I said while we were together are going to be used against me.
I know what they did hurt you. All right, but I also know that you're never going to grow up unless you face this thing and you face it head on.
Shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. You found out about this 5 minutes ago, and if she didn't tell you, she didn't want you to know.
Also, her parents fucking suck. Okay?
Her parents fucking suck so bad.
What we've seen of them, terrible.
Yes, but this isn't Jen's Creek, so she tells Dawson no. She agrees with him. He shrugs that she's going then, but she says she's not, and the writers make her say it's because not everyone is strong enough to rise to the occasion and do the right thing like fucking Dawson does. When he was being rude to his mother's boyfriend, when he was telling Joey it hurt to be around her, for example. Whatever. Jen says some people are just screwed up. Dawson doesn't think she believes that, and she says maybe she does and maybe she doesn't. Does it matter? It matters to him. She hardens her expression, so he asks her just to lie that she'll think about it, which you could have started there, buddy, instead of trying to boss her around, because she smiles
seriously.
And says she will. Jack is stewing at the gate when Jen brings him a drink and asks if Eric seemed any more gay than the last time Jack saw him. That's the same to me, I would say.
Same.
Jack says Eric tried to tell his parents, and Jen snort repeats, tried. Jack says it's not an easy thing to do, and Jen says she knows instead of something like, I'm sure, because she doesn't know, actually. But they go on, clip 14.
It wasn't very helpful.
Is that your job, to be helpful?
It's my job to be nice.
You are nice.
Yeah? How can you tell?
Well, because you've obviously been sitting here trying to figure out how to help somebody who hasn't been very nice to you.
Yeah, you're right. It's just, it's crazy. You know, it's weird to see somebody go through the exact same thing that I went through.
And not do anything to help them.
What do you want me to do, Jen? I mean, when somebody's that confused and messed up, you know, you just
have to be their friend.
You wouldn't appreciate it, you know?
I know.
And it'd be a waste of an entire summer.
Plus, you'd be totally bailing on me. Egregiously bailing.
Unforgivably bailing.
Yeah, except for the fact that I forgive you.
Right. I don't hate this, I guess.
All right, fine. But like, weren't he and Eric past this point already after this study session? Like, like, just let them go to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Let people be happy. Well, don't complicate it.
That's not what's happening, sadly, as Jack asks Jen rhetorically how stupid this is. And she says, very. He tries to get her to stay in Boston with him. She won't, but tells him to go help someone so their year won't be a total wash. He asks about her, and she thinks it might be time for her to go help herself, and they hug, and it's nice. And back at the Beacon News of Improbable Coincidences, Dawson is leafing through a magazine and snorting at a picture of Todd, the director who fired him in the season premiere, only to glance up and see actual Todd standing about 10 feet away, then feeling Dawson's eyes on him and looking back. And we'll get back to the scene in a second, but Dawson's grubby fingers are why, when I could still buy magazines at newsstands, RIP, I would never take the top one because those are the most thumbed. But Dawson immediately looks away. When he sneaks a look back at him, Todd finally asks where he knows Dawson from. Dawson reminds him about having fired him for having spilled coffee on the set of Damage Inc. Clip 15.
Oh, I remember you, the moralistic film student. You were annoying.
Thanks.
Still in film school?
Nope. Went back home after that, actually.
He's still in film school. He's just in a different film school. disrespecting of Viz Arts. There's more. Clip 16.
Oh, poor baby. Did I crap all over your Hollywood dreams?
Not nearly as much as the critics crapped all over your movie.
You've still got balls, kid. Believe it or not, that little speech you gave me kept me up a night or two.
Really?
Sure. Still, you're pretty opinionated for somebody who's not even in the game.
That's me. The moralistic film student.
Where are you off to?
Back to LA, actually.
Give me a call when you get there. I might want to watch one of those little movies you made. That is, if you don't chicken out and run scared this time.
We didn't need this guy back. But yeah. Fine.
I mean, we don't need him, and this isn't how he would behave in this situation, but sure, no. It's the finale. Let's just keep it pushing.
Mm-hmm. In Capeside, Joey's sitting on the dock outside the yacht club, reading Dawson's letter when Pacey, still in uniform, joins her, and the camera cuts to her hands, taking forever to put it back in the envelope so that we know he saw it. By the way, we don't hear any piece of this letter. Like, it was the season finale, and all the writers were like, I don't have it in me to write another heartfelt letter from it's just completely opaque to the viewer. Before he sits, Joey warns Pacey not to get too close or he will catch the Capeside disease, feeling trapped, self-pitying, and having no capacity to see the future. Pacey thinks that all sounds like being a teenager, and Joey laughs. Suddenly, she realizes he is the most adult person she knows, the way he never looks back, and he says, why would he when the future's in front of him and it's gonna be great? She goes on to call him both pig-headed and say he needs to believe in himself more, which is it? Pick a tone?
Yeah.
Pacey decides not to argue, and then, clip 17.
You miss her, don't you?
Audrey? I don't really think that's an appropriate conversation for last year's class couple to have, do you?
Fine, but I miss her. She changed my life, you know.
Yeah, I know. Of course, there's always the other option. That you changed it.
Fine. I guess I did.
I guess you did. And although I have no idea what was in that letter you were just reading, I have this funny feeling you were sitting here in true Joey fashion, wishing that you could unchange it.
No, I don't. Let's go.
Go where?
I'm not just gonna sit here. We're gonna go.
And I would ask again, go where?
You want her back, don't you? Well?
Joe, it's a little late for all that, don't you think?
No. We're gonna go. We're gonna go to the airport. We're gonna find them. And we're gonna say everything that we really want to say to them.
And we would do that because...
because we can. Come on.
Okay, two things. One, if Joey wouldn't change her life back, even based on the contents of the letter, she has nothing to say to anyone. And B... right. They left, like, this morning. They have no reason to think that Audrey and Dawson are still at the airport. Like, it's 2002. They weren't texting to be like, oh, I'm so bored or whatever, like you would be doing now. Or,
yeah,
you know, following their Twitter feed or what have you, like, before all of that. One commercial break later, Pacey and Joey are arriving at the airport and seeing that Dawson and Audrey's flight is only now boarding. Pacey's ready to give up, but Joey will go buy a ticket, get to the gate, and stop Audrey getting on the plane. Pacey sends her to do that, but if he wants to make an overture to Audrey, he should probably be present for it. He has a different idea. Elsewhere, Jen is arguing with a gate agent about a first-class ticket she does not want for pinko reasons, as far as we can tell. The agent tells her it's the only way she's getting to New York now, so she relents, and as she's trudging off, she runs into Joey in line to buy her ticket. They very briefly tell each other without going into too much detail that their current travel business is related to Dawson. Jen says there's so much about this year she wants to apologize to Joey for, but Joey just hugs her and they exchange I love you. And sometimes when this clock is against you, you can just skip to forgiveness and go on with your life. It doesn't have to be a whole fucking thing. I appreciated how efficient that was.
Yeah, and it was cute, too. Mm-hmm. It seemed sincere and like, well, just in case we don't actually get season six, let's do this. Mm-hmm. I thought that was appropriate. I liked it.
At their gate, Audrey reminds Dawson about his promise to punch her out for their flight, because it's time to do that. Dawson promises to do it when they're seated. Just then, Audrey gets paged to pick up the courtesy phone, and she takes off, ordering Dawson not to board without her. Clip 18.
Audrey.
Pacey?
Hey, it's me.
Well, what do you have to say for yourself?
I'm sorry, Audrey.
It's just not good enough, Pacey.
Okay, you know what? Maybe it's not good enough, but we'll never know if you get on that plane.
Okay.
Okay, so come on and meet me downstairs. We'll talk.
That's it? That is your pitch? Meet me downstairs and we will talk? God, you are a lazy romantic, Pacey.
I mean, he is.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's Pacey. You really think he's going to have money to buy a ticket and come into the... It's just so dumb. I don't know.
I mean, he was an executive chef at a restaurant for, like, 2 weeks at least, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Living somewhere rent-free, whatever. Pacey races into a security office and begs to use the intercom. His romantic future depends on it. The guard does not care and tells Pacey if he wants to stop his girl from getting on her plane, he'll have to buy a ticket. But Pacey doesn't have enough money for that. How much money does Pacey have? Evidently just enough to bribe the guard, because we smash cut to him on the intercom, painfully feeding back to the whole airport before addressing Audrey directly. Even though she's the only person who can't hear until Dawson pulls her extremely old, flimsy headphones off. Clip 19.
Please don't get on that plane, please. Or, you know what? If you do get on the plane, that's fine, because all you're going to make me do is drive across country and hang out in front of your parents' Beverly Hills mansion until you talk to me. Because I have to tell you that I am really, truly sorry for everything. And I'm sorry that I wasn't completely truthful with you, and I'm... sorry for my predilection for the company of older women. It's just that... this has been a really strange year for me, Audrey, because while the rest of you guys were off doing the whole college thing, I was just doing my best to stay afloat. And believe me, nobody's handing out roadmaps for the road less traveled. You just kind of got to get on and start driving. But ultimately... the only thing that I'm going to take away from this year and the only thing that I'm going to remember is you. Because you are amazing, Audrey. And you came along at a time when I thought all the big loves of my life were behind me, and you just rocked my world. And I know that you and I don't actually even know each other that well yet, but... I'm sure that I could live without you. I'm just not sure that I'd want to, Audrey, so... that's it. That's it. That's my pitch. So peace out, everybody. Free the West Memphis 3.
That was just for you.
Yeah, I know. If it hadn't already been in the clip doc, I'd have had to call for it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Locates you in time and tells you about Pacey.
Sure does.
Jackson, probably. Love it.
Yeah, true. So then Joey's with Jen's snippy gate agent trying to buy a refundable ticket. It has not occurred to her that she needs to have a destination, so she says Milwaukee. When the agent says that's boring, she says, okay, Paris then, which is better. They have a special this week. Oh, I'm just so sure they do.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to Pacey waiting for Audrey, who greets him with a hey, dickhead, and then asks, now what? Now they drive to Los Angeles, stopping only for food, sex, and if Audrey wants the world's biggest ball of yarn. And if some sexy old broad hits on him, he will kick her to the curb. Audrey drops her bags and puts her arms around him, saying he's lucky. He knows, and he isn't sure why. Audrey kind of loves him, she says. Only kinda? They have days of driving ahead of them to work on it, and I can't help noting Pacey has not said he loves Audrey, but he does at least... thank her before they head out, leaving Joey to make her own way back to the Cape, I guess. And then the action score is back as Joey runs through the terminal. Still standing in line at his gate, Dawson looks around, presumably for Audrey. Running, looking, running. Dawson has just handed his ticket to the gate agent when Joey materializes, and clip 20.
Why are you saying goodbye to me? What happened to you? When did you become the fatalist?
Right around the same time I went to kiss you and you turned your head like you were on a bad blind date.
I was scared.
Of what?
Of going backwards, of never growing up.
That's what I represent to you.
No, not you, us. I started this year thinking that I had to say goodbye to you, but I was wrong. Dustin, you're a huge part of my life, past, present, and future, and I have to start getting used to that because... you make my life better, not worse.
Then come with me. Right now. Come with me, Joe.
I can't. I won't. Going to California is your journey, not mine. And if we really mean to each other what we say we mean to each other, then there's nothing to worry about. Everything will work itself out, I guarantee it. Besides, I think I finally figured out what that kiss meant.
Care to share?
No!
God.
They're not, he's not going to the moon.
No!
Just go with him.
Yeah.
Go to a hotel, fuck a couple times if you don't care for it, and you won't. Come back.
Go to Paris. You have a ticket.
Yeah. Make him go with you.
Yeah, seriously. But none of that happens. Joey leans in to kiss Dawson, and it seriously looks like Dawson is kissing a corpse. Like, it is, you can see this in the visual aids. It is such anti-chemistry. We don't even see her face while the kiss is happening.
It's like when you tried to make your Barbie and Ken kiss, and all you could do, because they were made of silicone, was like rest their faces on each other.
Yes.
This is that, but with worse hair.
Yes. When their dry, dry lips come apart, Dawson joke complains that Joey has a way of making him not want to get on planes, but Joey says he's gonna clip 21.
And you're gonna go make movies. Because that's your dream. And you're gonna be good to everyone you meet along the way because that's who you are. And if you ever get lost, you remember.
What?
I love you too.
As a friend!
Sir? Sir, will you be flying with us today or what?
Thank you.
Lady's like, we have been boarding this flight for 7 hours. Get to your seat.
Yeah, or you're sitting on the wing, fucko.
Joey tells the agent Dawson will be flying and then calls Dawson Rain Man. What? Before what? Saying his life awaits. It's so random. Dawson says Joey's life awaits too and kisses her again, and they both look miserable as they part. But when Dawson gets to the jetway, he looks back and gives her his most dazzling smile. So I guess it was at least worth it for that. In her first class seat, Jen accepts a hot towel just before Todd plops down next to her. He half-heartedly flirts with her before saying, when she asks, that he's a filmmaker who just made Damage Inc. Oh, she saw that opening night. Kind of sucked, she says. Somewhere in Boston, Jack and Eric have coffee and not sex. In Cape Side, Gail is carrying Lily up to bed when she improbably says da-da at a photo of Mitch. At the airport, Grams and Mr. Smalls board their flight to Las Vegas, and I hope you got everything you needed from those last two glimpses of Mr. Smalls having no lines, because that's a series wrap on Efemo Omalami. In the Mustang, Audrey and Pacey flirt and laugh. I remember when it wasn't starting last episode, but I guess everything that was wrong with his car is just fine now.
Yeah, what better time to take a cross-country trip where there might be no one to work on your vintage car in the desert?
Very good point. On his plane, Dawson ponders his life just before a sexy lady sits down next to him, looking nervous. Clip 22.
You okay?
Yes. No, no, not really. I have this problem with flying. I hate it. With a passion. If I grab your arm at some point during the flight and ask you to explain some creepy airplane noise, please don't hold it against me.
Not a problem.
On a different kind of show, this would be where Dawson offers to punch her in the face and gets thrown off the flight, but he doesn't. This is this character is played by Jennifer Perrin. She would later be in season one of The Nick as Clive Owen's character's ex, whose nose fell off from syphilis, just FYI.
Oh, yeah.
But this is her very first screen credit ever, so congratulations to her.
Good job, Jennifer.
Anyway, Dawson doesn't offer to punch her and says this, clip 23.
You know what? It's gonna be okay. Everything's gonna be okay.
You don't know. You don't know. Back at the gate, Joey goes to return her ticket to Paris. The gate agent says it's a shame she can't use it. Paris is supposed to be amazing in the spring. Joey's heard that too, and suddenly she gets a mischievous expression, and that's it for season 5. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Pacey, his plan worked, and he was very adorable.
Mm-hmm. The flight attendant speaking for us all.
True.
Excuse me, the gate agent, I suppose I should say.
Mm-hmm. Least valuable player. Joey, let it die. Move on with your life. Everything you thought about not growing up was correct. You gotta stop this. Stop it.
Yeah, I'll go with Dawson for the same reason.
Yeah, fair. Then we gotta do our season MVP. I
can't... Audrey.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
I mean, it started to slide off the face of everything mid-season, and they sort of, her whole, like, sexually free, whatever, like, roommate who would loosen Joey up a little bit thing.
Yes.
Didn't hold, but it lasted for a while, and she still brings a shot of unserious energy that is what this show desperately needs into all her scenes. So, Audrey, thank you, Busy Phillips.
Yeah, sorry, you're about to fall off a cliff, as we hear. Not literally, her character. I was going to say Dawson just because he had more highs than I was expecting ever.
True.
Also tempted by Jen, because she threw him one, and that was really nice.
Yes, thank you. A grateful nation, etc.
Thank you. Mm. We had to get through the baby era of Jen, though, so that kind of tampered that down. So I'm going to say Grams. I don't think she has had a false step yet. The worst thing she's done this season is tell Dawson Jen's business that she just thought he already knew. So other than that, Grams in her gigantic house, holding it down.
Mm-hmm. Always, always safe. Always a safe pick.
Season LVP, least valuable player. We're back in the Bay. I'm going to say Wilder. Leave your students alone.
Yeah, Wilder's good. I mean, gosh, I can't really top Wilder. Maybe the mugger?
Oh, yeah.
But honestly, my first instinct was to say Joey.
Yeah, Joey's been terrible.
Yeah, it's not her fault, but like she has split ends. They're trying to turn her into Saint Joey. I don't enjoy it. She's not interesting. She frequently needs chapstick. There's just like a lot of little things that are not great, and nobody else in the season, with the exception of the, you know, creepo borderline felon, obviously. Mm-hmm. But we spend a lot more time with her, and every moment in eternity. So yeah, Joey's my answer. I can't believe it's not Dawson.
Good call.
Next time on Again With This, we'll find out about how the Creakers spent their summer vacations with, quote, assists from Jack Osborne and Oliver Hudson.
Can you even?
Oh, early aughts. Anyway, that's the top of the show's final season, but first, the traditional between seasons call-in show as noted. Please let us hear from you at 210-767-2237. You can talk/rant about any of the shows that we've covered. More importantly, you can and must guide us towards the next show we'll be covering on Again With This. 210-767-2237, or send us a note or voice memo by email, hello@againwiththispodcast.com. However you reach out, you got to do it fast. This flight is boarding. All that contact info and our visual aids for every episode are on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I am most disgusting culinary experience, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Lazy Romantic Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, had all these grand plans, you know? Talk to you next time. Uh-huh. Oh, we did it!
We did it!